Being CrossFit does involve three letters, and we've been trying to take these one letter at a time, not to process them so quickly and move on, but to actually understand really what the scripture says, what the Lord is trying to tell us about what it means. And by the time we got ready to talk about these three characteristics of what a CrossFit person is, it took us 2 or 3 weeks to get there. We first started with the letter F, and that CrossFit people are faithful. And we took a couple weeks to try to figure out what that means to be faithful. We understand that sometimes just like the apostles, they said, you know, Lord, just give us some more faith. In other words, if we have more faith, then we can do more things for you, or we can actually do what you said we could do. And the Lord said, you know, basically, even if you have faith, the amount of faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to that mulberry bush, be removed, and it would be gone. And they probably weren't looking for that agricultural answer. What God was trying to tell them through Jesus is, you don't need to ask for more faith. You have enough. You need to pray that you become more faithful to what he's already been given you. Now, we talked about a couple of the stories that talked about how God has given us a measure of faith and how we use that faith to increase faith. And that all is through being faithful to what he's called us to be. So then we started last week trying to understand what the I stood for. And I know some of you were like, man, I've been trying to figure out what these letters stand for. And some of you had some great words. They'd make a really great sermon, but it wasn't what I selected. And I got two people who have texted me, I think, last week. Does T stand for this? It's like, you're like, no, but that too is really good. But I understood that I stood for intentional. CrossFit believers, CrossFit people need to become intentional. Being a Christian is not haphazard. You just don't accidentally try to become a Christian. You don't somehow just grow spiritually just by osmosis. It takes a lot of intentionality. We use the illustration about a cross-country trip, and when you're going on a long drive, you have to be very intentional. You need to know the direction that you're going. You need to have directions to make sure you're going in the right direction, and you need to be ready for that third D, the detours of life. Because if you're not intentional, then life or every wave of doctrine is going to be moving you back and forth, back and forth. Seems like you're spiritually high, spiritually low, and you're almost getting spiritually motion sick because of flip-flopping all the way around. See, God has designed us to be very intentional in becoming spiritually to the point where he wants us to be. And he uses two vehicles. Just like I talked about last week, I use several vehicles to get myself from Chino Hills to LAX, and then LAX to JFK, and then JFK to Tel Aviv, thank you. And then I used a car, I used a plane, I used a bus, I used a boat. I it sounds like a Sesame Street kind of a thing going on here. And I used my feet. See, those are the vehicles that intentionally helped me get to where I needed to go. And just like CrossFit, we need to be intentional. God gives us two vehicles. In fact, I'm going to be bold enough to tell you that you must be about one of these two vehicles, one of these two things every day. All the time, you need to be doing one or the other. You have to be a person of praise and a person of prayer. And we just had a sampling of some of the scriptures that God combined together, the power of praise and the power of prayer together. In fact, Paul went on, we talked about this for a while, continually rejoice. What's that? Continually what? Praise. Does that mean what, 2 hours a day? Is that continual? Now, that's a lot of singing. No, praise isn't just singing, but trust me, it's a very fun way to praise the Lord. And if you're not singing, the Bible says you need to be what? Praying. He says in the same verse, pray continually or pray without ceasing. That means pray during your meals. No, that means you need to always have an attitude of praise and always have an attitude of prayer. And these are the two vehicles to intentionally gravitate towards God to become the person the mature believer that he wants you to be. And these are the two exercise pieces of equipment. This is maybe your treadmill, and this is what? Name another piece of equipment. Your stair climber, all right? Those are things that you must choose to get on and to participate every single day of your existence. And so as we talked about praise this last week, that was our subject last week, and we're going to talk about it again this week. There's no way you can talk about praise conclusively in one sermon. It's impossible. In fact, I won't even be able to do it justice in these two sermons. So when we look at praise, we have to understand what this is, and I found this little bit of an understanding to help us out. It says, praise is a willful decision that flows out of an awe and a reverence for the Lord. Now, I could spend 10 minutes talking about that right now. Is praise something that is naturally done? Now, when things are going good and God's doing good for you, it naturally, hey, what, way to go, God. Woohoo, you did good. But no, this is a willful decision. Regardless of your circumstances, praise is something I decide to do. You have to intentionally understand that God is an amazing God. And all these songs talked about that. And it's a willful decision to praise God in reverence of the Lord. What's reverence mean? Respect, that's a good one. Honor. Whatever God says, you respect, you honor, you listen. Now, praise gives glory to God. That's its focus. It gives glory to God. And, can I put a blue underline? And it what? It ignites communion with him. When I talk about communion, I'm not talking about the bread and the cup. I'm talking about being in relationship with God. You want to feel closer to God? You want to feel more intimate with God? Don't pray about it. Praise about it. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So, praise gives God glory and ignites communion with him. Praise turns our attention from our problems. How many of you have problems? Okay, nearly all of us. That board could be filled with problems. But what praise does, it turns your attention, which we naturally like to centralize on, our problems. I do the same thing. I get that hamster wheel thing going on every morning, weighing all the stress and all the things in my life. But praise turns your attention from the problems to what? To the person and purposes of God. People in the Bible learned something that I think we haven't really fully adhered to yet, is they learned to praise God despite their circumstance. Who? King David, Peter, Joseph, Job, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and don't forget Daniel, all right? People learn to praise God despite their circumstances, but I have a feeling if they were to write a Bible book about us and how we praise God through our circumstances, it may only be one chapter, or it may only be one verse. Because for a lot of us, when things go wrong and my attention is on my problems, I really don't praise God. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, or knowing that the testing of your faith. Really? That seems very opposite. Think about Hannah. She praised God at the birth of Samuel and then surrendered him willingly to the Lord's service to the priest Eli. Think about David, who praised God when he delivered the Philistine giant and the army to his hands. Think about Job. He praised God even though he lost nearly everything and nearly everyone. Think about Elizabeth. In her old age, she praised God to an answer to a prayer request from years gone by and became the mother of John the Baptist. Think about Mary, who wrote a song of praise to a good news that didn't seem too good to those around, yet she praised God in the midst of her questioning. Think about the lame man, who for years and years he made a living by begging, but one day his friends were saying, you know what, you need to get a job. In order to get a job, you need to get healed. We're going to lower you through that roof. And Jesus healed him, and the lame man got up. He went what? walking, praising God and thanking him right to the employment, right to the job line, get a job right then. He praised God. You think about Paul. He praised God despite the numerous beatings, despite the times that he was in prison, despite the times that he was persecuted. Even in his last breath, he praised God despite the circumstances. 3 weeks ago, as I was preparing for this message, one thing kept on coming to my mind over and over and over again. There is one universal reason that you can praise God even if everything's fallen apart. There's one universal reason, no matter who you are, what country you're born in, no matter your age, no matter anything, no matter even your circumstances, you can praise God from sunrise to sunset for this one thing. And I found this from the front cover to the back cover, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. When that kept on resonating in my heart, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Therefore, I can praise God despite the long list of all my problems. I can thank God because nothing can separate me from his love. In fact, if you don't believe me, let's turn to what the Bible says. This is going to be out the New Life version, not the New Living version. It says this in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I know, some translations say, for I'm confident. I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God. In case you didn't understand what that meant, Paul said, death cannot, life cannot, angels cannot, leaders cannot, any other power cannot, hard things now or in the future cannot, the world above or the world below cannot, any other living thing cannot keep us away from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can say, there's nothing anyone else can do or say to cause God not to love you anymore. Nothing can separate you from. He loves you so unconditionally that it's a protecting love, and it's a promising love, and it's a persevering love. Nothing will ever separate you from his love. In other words, his presence in your life, his purposes in your life, how much he cherishes and longs for a relationship with you. Eight times he says cannot. Add nothing in the first part, nine times. In case you don't get it, there is nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And I think it was last Monday or Tuesday, I was in the gym and I had my ear pods on, because I don't know if you realize, but for every segment of the series, I've introduced you to a new song, a praise song. Why? Because songs also help us understand what the scriptures already say. And I want to share this song with you now.
If I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause, 'cause I feel just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays. I used to hide every time I thought I let you down. Always thought I had to earn my way, but I'm learning you don't work that way now. 'Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays.
with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays.
Now you can imagine how I felt when I heard that song in preparation for this sermon. It's like, wow, aren't you glad you heard that song this morning? And you're reminded in another media how God loves you and nothing can separate you. I like how he listed, my shame can't separate me. My guilt can't. My past can't. My sin can't. My scars can't. And my failures can't. Nothing. No, those are all things within me. And then he goes on to remind us that nothing on the outside can separate. Doesn't that give you a thank you, Lord, that, wow, if everything else has fallen apart, this one thing, he'll help me get through that because you are there. He says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So that's awesome. But what about Monday morning when it all hits the fan? So I've been evaluating my life and trying to figure out, okay, I understand that. So why do I stop praising God? Why do I stop having this attitude of praise? Why am I just reluctantly choosing just to be poor, pitiful me all the time? And I found out there's this one thing in my life, and maybe it's in your life as well, that tries to camouflage or tries to cover up, and that is negativity. Thinking the worst will happen, the glass is always half empty, okay? It's that negativity that seems to sabotage my attitude of prayer. And where does negativity begin? In my thinking. And I know that the Holy Spirit is trying to transform me by the renewing of my mind, but the battlefield is right up here, according to what Joyce Meyer did in her book. It's right up here in my mind. And if the enemy can sabotage my thinking, my praise follows. Now, that's what happens to me. I can make myself angry in less than 10 seconds. I can go down a negative path, a dark path, in 5 seconds. And the moment I choose to go down that path is the moment I stop playing praise in my spirit. And if I am focusing on negativism, I have stifled what the Lord wants to do. So if he inhabits the praise of his people, he gets set aside or pushed aside when negativity becomes my focus. You understand what I'm saying about that? It's that we have to fight against the negativity and praise, as we talked about last week, praise is a weapon against spiritual attacks. I was sharing with someone earlier this morning, I've been waking up, I have not been sleeping much lately. A lot of things on my mind. You ever been there? You ever been fighting in bed? Tossing back and forth, and your mattress is uncomfortable, and it's like, oh, man, I need 8 more hours of sleep, but I can't sleep. And so praise is a weapon to fight that, and I have to choose to think about some of the psalms and think about some of the songs, notice the difference, and try to convince myself, well, since you're awake, you might as well become a praiser. You know, and I don't know what night it was, but I'm in bed laying down and I'm just thanking the Lord. I don't know what my wife was thinking, but it's okay. I'm just thanking the Lord. And guess what happened after a little while? I realized I fell back asleep. That is probably one of the sweetest ways to fall asleep, in the middle of praise. And what I'm trying to do is replace those negative thoughts, because the hamster wheel gets spinning in my head. And I choose to stop it with things that are positive, things that are helpful. Sounds like a scripture verse that we have realized. And so that's what praise can do for me. And if I'm praising God, and I said this last week and I gave you homework, when you're in the midst of praise, you will always put a wall or barrier between you and the enemy. He cannot come in and invade when you're in praising God. Now, he'll try to sabotage you and distract you, but he cannot stop that praise. And so that's what it means to me to be a person of praise. And so one of the best ways to combat negativity is to have Christ-centered thinking. Christ-centered thinking, when you get a phone call, an email, or a text from someone that set off your day. Christ-centered thinking is that you subject everything to the word and will of Christ. And that's a choice that I have to make. And that's what a CrossFit person does. He or she intentionally chooses to think about things that will bring down the kingdom of heaven into their situation. And it has to go from negative-centered thinking to Christ-centered thinking. Out of all the scriptures, there's one passage. There's one chapter. In fact, I'm going to preach the entire chapter today. Psalm 150. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 150 in your Bibles. If you have a new Bible, go ahead and turn it. If you have a used Bible, it probably will fall naturally to Psalm 50. If you're one of those millennial people, just type in Psalm 150. And we're going to work on the entire chapter this morning because I believe Psalm 50 is the centerpiece of praise. All of the Psalms have to do something with praise, but the end of the Psalms, the end of the book, God doesn't want you to miss out on the priority of praise. In fact, the last five chapters, Psalms 146, 147, 148, 149, and finally 150, they begin and they end with that last Hebrew word that I taught you last week. Remember, I gave you seven Hebrew words for praise, and today you should have been thinking about the seventh word. Anyone remember what the seventh word for praise was? Hallelujah. All right. And so these last Psalms, they begin and end with praise. And in fact, in Psalm 150, not 115, 150, 13 times in only 6 verses, it tells you to praise God. So what do you think he wants you to do? Praise him. So here we go. If God tells us that people should be caught up with praise, he tells them we should be caught up with praise because who he is. All right, stop. Everyone there at Psalm 150, right? Listen to me. Too often, when we think of praising God, it's due to something that he's done for us, like answered prayer. But CrossFit believers choose to praise God not because of his performance in their lives, but in response to his nature, his person, and in his character. God loves me despite my inabilities and in spite of my imperfections. You may not be a person of praise because you've gotten it backwards. But true CrossFit people praise God despite their evaluation of God's performance, his timing, and his will. They choose to praise God because of his character, his nature, and his person. Do you see the big difference? Sometimes we think praising God is going, good boy, way to go. Good God, you did good, thank you. We think about who's got something to praise the Lord for. And there is a deafening silence in the crowd. Why? Because you're trying to evaluate what God's done for you. Do you see how wrong that is? See how anorexic it is? See how wrong it is because you don't praise God because of his performance. You praise him for his person, his character, his nature, whether he performed for you or not. CrossFit people, Psalm 150. Now, just in case you have to understand this, I'll put it up here for you. Because I believe Psalm 150 gives us the where, the why, the how, and the who of praise. Do you see that? WWHW. So here's Psalm 150. You can memorize the psalm, can't you? You can memorize the entire chapter. Try to memorize Psalm 115 and go for it that way. So Psalm 150, though, is easy to remember. So we praise God not because of his performance or our approval of his actions in our lives, but because of his attributes. Let's look at the first one. See, CrossFit believers know the where of praise. And the answer is found in verse 1, that we praise God where? In his sanctuary and in his mighty heavens. Now, sometimes your translations may say it a little bit differently. What do you mean by God's sanctuary? Well, that refers to a place of worship. When the psalmist would write this, when David wrote that, it was actually going to be the temple in his sanctuary where God dwells. So they would praise God in the tabernacle, praise God in the temple, praise God where the people are gathered. And so if you put it in today's time, we would praise God in his sanctuary. Where would that be? Here, church, where the church is gathered. And it's not just in this place, it's in all places of gathering that God's place, we praise God. That is the purpose of what we do this morning. And for some churches, I have no idea why they meet. If it's not for praise, why else would you have church? The Bible says you need to praise God in his sanctuary where people are gathered together. But also it is in the mighty heavens. What's another translation say? Not mighty heavens, but what? Okay, we'll take that. In the mighty heavens. Now this refers to anything above and below the sky. So we have our corporate praise in the sanctuary, and we're supposed to praise them where else? Everywhere else. And you look up to the mighty heavens, everything in heavens declare the glory of God, right? So many psalms talk about that. You can't go anywhere that God is not. So praise basically God in the corporate and praise God when you're out and about. That is the mighty heavens. Praise him under the heavens, the sky, the universe, and beyond. Praise God everywhere, heaven and earth. I like what Diedrich Hender wrote. He goes, God's glory fills the universe. His praise deserves no less. Have you ever walked around and seen the glory of God? Now, it's going to be real pretty. It's going to be real easy in a few months when all the wildflowers are coming out on the hills. And just like, wow, God, it's beautiful. Have you ever taken a moment just to look at the beauty of God all around us? It's mind-blowing. Paul and Tina, they got in their new home, you can see the beauty of God right there. You go to the beach, you go to the top of Mount Baldy, you just look out and you see the beauty of God. And all of that declares glory to God. So praise them everywhere. These two words describe corporate and personal praise. I often wonder, then, why do some churches gather if they're not all about praising God? If it's not about Jesus, why are you even there? If everyone started off every day of the week, to meet God in praise, you'd be simmering all week long. Imagine if all of us, for 7 days, spent every morning just praising God. Wonder how that would be reflected in our corporate worship. CrossFit people know the why of praise, and that is every act and every attribute of God. Verse 2 says, praise him for his what? Acts of power. What does another translation say? Mighty deeds. And praise him for his what? Surpassing greatness. Or what else does it say? His excellency. And his excellent greatness. I love how they put those together. And so that helps. Why do we praise God? Okay. But it's really simple. Because of what he's done. His acts of power, and because who he is, because of his surpassing greatness. Goes back to that very important statement. We tend to focus on what he's done for us, and you're supposed to thank God and praise God for what he's done for you, okay? Only one of the lepers came back. You're supposed to praise God and thank him. But you also spend time thanking because of who he is, not just what he's done. We should praise God because of acts of power or mighty deeds. Here's a real quick survey I did in the book of Psalms. Psalm 139. These are things that he's done that no one else has done. Psalm 139. He formed you while you were still in your mother's womb, and he ordained every day of your life. Now tell me who else has done that. No one. So from the very beginning, before you took your first breath, he formed you in your mother's womb and he declared your days. Psalm 22. He sent the Messiah to die for our sins so we may not be separated from God. Psalm 23. He provided for our every need as the good shepherd. Psalm 32. He offers forgiveness of sin even while we are still separated from God, and he brought us to a point of redemption. Psalm 57, he is beyond sufficient. Even in times of trial, he will see you through. Psalm 71, he offers you unabounding grace and mercy. Psalm 119, he gave us his word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He's given us his Bible. No one else has given you any of that except for God. So you can praise him for what he's done for you, right? There's a long list outside of what you've asked him to do for you. Praise him for what he's already done for you. Then we should praise him for basically who he is, his surpassing greatness. I was thinking about this, and I could probably spend the rest of our time together telling you about how great he is. Apart from his deeds, God is worthy of praise simply because he is perfect. He's lacking nothing. He is the King eternal, immortal, invisible. He is the only God. He is blessed to, and he is sovereign. He is basically the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Only he possesses immortality. He's worthy to receive all glory, honor, power, and praise. And he's the creator and the sustainer of everything, because in him everything exists and nothing exists outside of him. So not only is there a long list of things that he's done outside of your list, there's also a lot of things that he is amazing at doing. Speaking you into existence, speaking the world into existence, and keeping everything. He's the one that every day keeps the sun just a little bit close and a little bit far so you and I won't freeze or burn. He's the one that keeps the stars in the sky. He's the one that has ordained every single day of your life. You just got to figure out what he's doing. That is who God is. And there's so many reasons to praise him. And that is for his acts of power and surpassing greatness. What's next? We need to understand that CrossFit people, they know the how. They need the how. And it's really simple. With everything you've got. How do you praise God? With leftovers, because you're tired. How do you praise God? Well, because, well, Barbie's here and she's playing the piano. I can praise God this morning. How do you praise God? With everything you've got. Voice. Well, some of us do a lot better than that than others. What else? What do you have to praise God with? Your heart? Your mouth? Your actions? My life? Let's think about this. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel or the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Not Californian, I know it's legal, it's the wrong pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbal. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Well, that's good. Sounds like musicians can praise the Lord. Oh, I understood the same thing for such a long time. No, it's more than that. We should praise him with everything that he's given us. Think about this. This verse pulls out all the stops. It's the crescendo of how to praise God with everything you've got. In fact, you're supposed to praise him with your breath. What's up there? How do you praise God with your breath? With the trumpet. How do you make a trumpet blare? With your breath. Praise God with your breath. And if there's a trumpet in front of it, or a flute, or a microphone, or someone's ear, you praise God with your breath. How you speak, you let God and everyone know God's breath is in you. And you praise God with your fingers. How do I see that? How do you praise God with your fingers in there? How do you praise God with a harp without fingers? Why would God want us to praise him with our fingers? And this is an example of how you can praise God. How can we praise God today with our fingers? Everything you do with your fingers, can you do to the glory of God? What do you do with your fingers? You text. Now, 10 years ago, we've never talked about that. Can you praise God with what you text? Oh, some of us need to work on that a little bit better. How else do you use your fingers? Eating. Can you praise God with your eating? Playing the piano. Hugging. So, oh, you said that. You threw your voice back behind you. Very good. Do you see the idea? I'm trying to challenge you to think, how do you use your appendages to praise God with? What you write. How you extend love. When someone is struggling, someone's back is hurting. Oh, no, your shoulder. Oh, no, everything you said. Your touch. You praise God by touching people. Right? The power of touch. So see how it's not just about the trumpet? Oh, I don't have to praise God because I can't play the trumpet. It's not about the harp because I don't play a harp. No, it's about breath and it's about your fingers. He says, then you need to use your whole hands. What do you mean your whole hands? What do you need to use your whole hands? Now, this says timbrel, but another word for timbrel is what? You use your whole hands. It's a tambourine. Now, whenever Lori doesn't play the... I'm sure her ears are perking up right now. You know, when she doesn't play the tambourine, I'm going like this to her. Get your tambourine. Come on. You use all of your hands, right, to praise God. So it's the same thing with your fingers. It's the same thing with your hands. Use your hands to praise God. When you're using your fingers and your hands, you're on the internet. Are you reading all the blank space right there now? Use your whole hand. And I love this. There's another part. He says you basically need to use your whole body to praise God. Where in the world did I get this? Praise Him with your whole body. What do you need up there? What's one example of that you need your whole body? Jordan, come on. You can do this one. Oh, you sound just like Edna this morning. Can you dance without your whole body? I mean, I've seen Jordan's videos. They're awesome when she's dancing, all right? When I'm dancing, okay, I got to use my whole body, and that's what he's talking about. Use your breath, use your fingers, use your hands, use your whole body to do what? Praise God. Well, I'm not that kind of person. I didn't tell you to do it. The Word of God says, let everything that you have praise God. And if he's given you feet, use your feet to praise God. I can't tell you how many races I've been to, marathons I've been to, where believing Christians are running and they have scripture all over their bodies and all that kind of cross. I'm using my body now and his body to bring glory to God and to praise God. You ever seen someone wear a cross, a necklace? Okay, that's again, that's an opportunity for you to praise God with your advertisement. Who do you belong to? That's an amazing thing. That's how we can praise God, because of everything. So when we think about this, these three verses talk about praise as a celebration. Do you see how that praise is a celebration? Not because of what you've done, not because of what God's just done for you, but because of who He is. It's a celebration. And so many people that you and I know don't realize what He's done for them. Even someone who might be wearing a religious symbol may not truly know how deep and how marvelous the love of God is in their life. They just think it's something culturally that binds them to their mother. Okay, that's fine. But let's build on that. See, praise is a celebration. I'm going to tell you right now, when we praise, sometimes it's like we're at God's funeral. When you go to a funeral, is there much celebration going around? Well, maybe one or two people, but not really. It's pretty somber. And sometimes when you think about praise, it's like it's so somber. So now there's times to be reflective, yeah, and there's times to be quiet and still. But so far I haven't read much about that yet, have you? I've read praise as a very celebrative thing. Not only is praise celebrative, I also read in here that praise is a matter of concentration. You're focused on it. Ever get something stuck in your head and your brain won't let it go? You know, like there's a joke, but you don't know how it ends. Or this morning, 4 o'clock, April and I were talking. I said, this thing's been keeping... What is the metric version of weight? And she looked at me like, where did that come from? What's the metric version of weight? I was going through all my mind, and for some reason, I couldn't get it out of my mind. Like, what was it? Is it? Oh, grams and kilograms. And I thought, wow, yeah. And then I was able to move on. And so problem is, we get stuck in such negative thoughts that we get in base rooted right into there. And we can't focus on anything else until we get stepped or kicked out of that through the presence of God and through praise. I need to concentrate on the Lord. Do I get so focused on the Lord that everything else is just background noise? Do all my problems become background noise if I'm a person of praise? When I'm focused on God, do all my struggles become backseat if That's where it should be, but you're probably not like me. Whenever I have a problem, all of a sudden my problem becomes the co-pilot. And it's driving me all around and taking me wherever I follow. And praise needs to basically kick the problem out, because nothing can separate me from God. Nothing's greater than God. He will take care of me. My problems won't. That's concentration. John 4:23 says, true worshipers or praisers worship him in truth and in spirit. So that is an awesome understanding. Now we think about the who of praise. Who should praise God? Do you see this? Who should praise God? It's very specific. It's very detailed. Anyway, who should praise God? What's the qualification? Has breath. Anything living needs to be a praiser. And I know sometimes you got to check the pulse once in a while. And think about this. But everything that has breath should what? Praise the Lord. How you doing? Or do you need some resuscitation? Because we can't see the breathing. See, praisers ignite the presence of God in their life. It builds communion with God. You want more of God? Start praising him. It could be a song. I was telling someone earlier this morning, trying to figure out how to praise God at 3 o'clock in the morning to try to substitute the negative thinking with a God-shaped thinking. I start thinking about songs, and I'm thinking about the song that I'm going to play for you this morning. I'm going over and over and over it, not to sing it too loud to wake up the rest of the house. I'm thinking about Psalm 150 and thinking, man, it'd be great if I could just memorize that without messing it up all the time. I'm trying to memorize this. I'm just thinking about all the good things that God has done for me. See, that is replacing the negative thinking that the enemy wants to focus on, that Bill wants to focus on, with God thinking. And after a while, it begins to take shape. So who is supposed to praise God? Everyone who's breathing. But the greatest thing is, your breath didn't originate with you. Your breath originated with God's breath himself. He breathed life into you. Wow. The very breath I have is from God, and it's for God. And I need to choose, until I have no more breath in me, I choose every day to give that breath back to God in praise. Now, I know sometimes I stumble, sometimes I fall, and sometimes I focus on the negativity, but I am thankful that I'm becoming more CrossFit, because I intentionally will become a person of praise. I want to praise him with my emotions. I want to praise him with my mind, my thinking. And I want to praise him with my body. That's everything. So praising is just not what we do this morning. It's actually who we are as God's children, as God's breath. It's who we are.